You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. On President Trump's first day in office of his second term, he vowed to take on transgender rights, especially in schools. In the years since, a series of lawsuits and policy changes are threatening the protections offered to trans youth in California, including an upcoming decision from the Supreme Court. Carolyn Jones is the K-12 education reporter for the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters, which partners with public media stations across the state, and she joins us today to explain what's happening with these cases. Welcome. Welcome back, Carolyn.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So if we look at the history of California's protections for trans youth, what are some of those landmark policies that have been established in the past several years?
Well, going back for decades, actually, California has pretty much let kids play on whatever sports team they want to play on. We're talking, you know, kids under age 18, and there has been very few issues with it. I think you can count on one hand the number of times where there's been some kind of a conflict related to that. So that's been the longstanding policy in California. More recently, there's been a lot of laws passed that have taken extra steps to protect transgender youth, including allowing them to use gender-neutral bathrooms at school campuses. California passed a law last year that says that school districts cannot require teachers or other staff to inform parents if a child is identifying as transgender. And that's the subject of one of the court cases now.
How does California's current policies and laws compare to other states?
California is one of 23 states in the country that allows transgender youth to play on whatever team aligns with their gender identity. And that's the subject of a separate Supreme Court case that's happening right now. Two transgender athletes, I believe in Idaho and West Virginia, have sued their states. And those are states that do not allow transgender athletes to play on the team that aligns with their gender identity. And so that is something that the Supreme Court recently heard arguments on, and they're likely to make a decision later this year, probably in June.
Okay, so how could a ruling from the Supreme Court affect the policies that are in place for California?
Well, legal experts who've studied this say that it appears likely the Supreme Court will uphold states' rights to sort of set their own policies, which in California could mean that California could keep its policy now, its sort of open door policy. However, advocates for transgender youth say that this could also sort of set the stage for future lawsuits and provide some legal grounds for further other cases down the road, or provide some kind of backing for the federal government to create new policies. So they're keeping a close eye on it.
You also mentioned another law which involves parental notification in California. I mean, it is a law to prohibit schools from requiring staff members to notify parents if their child identifies as trans or as non-binary. How is that being challenged at the federal level? How could that affect how schools in California operate?
Sure. I mean, a little background on that case. About 2 or 3 years ago, a handful of school districts in California, Chino Valley being one, Roseville being another, passed, you know, their school boards passed laws, you know, regulations requiring teachers to inform parents if a child was identifying as a different gender. And the state stepped in and sued them and won, and then passed a law saying that no district in California can require teachers to inform parents. And now two teachers and some parents in the San Diego area sued, challenging that law, saying that it violated their own personal ethics and their own personal their beliefs. And the first court ruling was in their favor. The state then asked for a pause on this while it prepared an appeal. And the plaintiffs have asked the Supreme Court to weigh in on this. And so we're still waiting to see what the Supreme Court will say about this, the pause while this case moves forward.
And there also have been changes as well at the federal level about preventing hospitals from providing gender care for children. Is that also impacting how things are done in California as well?
Yeah, there's a little bit of confusion on that because you're right. The federal government came down in the past couple of months and said that hospitals cannot provide gender-affirming care for patients who wanted it. But meanwhile, California has come out and said, no, you have to provide the services. And so there's a little bit of confusion. And in the meantime, a few major healthcare providers, including Kaiser and I think Stanford Healthcare, have put a pause on surgeries for minors. They're still doing other forms of healthcare for transgender youth, but they put a pause on surgeries until some of this stuff is sorted out.
And I think it's important to underscore this. I mean, this population that we're talking about, it's relatively small. It's just a fraction of youth in California, correct?
Yeah, I think research has shown that among all the entire population, transgender people are about 1%, and among young people, it's about 3%, so not very many people at all. And generally speaking, transgender youth face a host of challenges that their peers do not struggle with. And they're at higher rates of dropping out of school, higher rates of homelessness, higher rates of suicide, higher rates of anxiety and depression overall. So they're already a very vulnerable population. And advocates say that this kind of heated rhetoric and this kind of national spotlight, you're bringing the whole weight of the federal government down on these kids who are already in a vulnerable position. And so these cases and these policies and these debates just kind of make life harder for them, no matter what the outcome is.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters education reporter Carolyn Jones about the potential changes at the federal level that could impact protections for trans youth in California. So as these changes at the federal level and a Supreme Court case and potentially another one, if the Supreme Court agrees to hear another case, as this plays out, are California elected leaders and public leaders working now to get ahead of it, to try and protect the state?
Sure. I mean, advocates say that it's no accident. I mean, in the past, debates over the rights of transgender people have been proven to be kind of a successful wedge issue, particularly in purple areas in California. And as we head into the midterms, they expect more of these debates to come up because this is going to be a very important political year. And so leaders are, they're doing what they can now to kind of protect California's laws. And they're fighting, the Attorney General's office is fighting these lawsuits and seeking to uphold the protections that California does offer. Another thing I forgot to mention earlier is the Trump administration has also launched Title IX investigations into California Department of Education, which oversees K-12 schools, as well as the community colleges. For their policies allowing transgender athletes to play on the team of their choice. So that's another front that state leaders are facing right now.
That's an interesting and important point when you mention like the purple areas of California. I mean, what are you learning about how these challenges and lawsuits, how it's influencing California politics overall? I mean, even Governor Newsom has made headlines, in the last year or so about, a perceived change in stance when it comes to transgender youth and playing sports.
Sure. Well, I mean, anything related to children is always going to get people's attention, I think. People are very protective of, not just their own children, but all children. And so anything, and becoming transgender or coming out as transgender is a big step. It's a big move. And I think it this one reason why this has been such a kind of an eye-catching issue for people is that, some parents say, well, if my child is going through this, I want to be there to support them and I want to know about it. Whereas other parents are not quite so supportive. And so that's where the state steps in to protect them. So yeah, it has absolutely proven to be, highly of interest. And one school board member from Chino Valley, who's really kind of made a name for herself on this regard, Sonia Shaw, she is now kind of using this as a platform to run for state superintendent of public instruction.
I see. And as you laid out, we're talking about a very small fraction of children in California that have been thrust into the spotlight of political rhetoric. Has California made resources available to help trans youth as the federal government attempts to restrict and pull back its own supports?
Yes, California has poured, billions of dollars into mental health resources generally for all Californians in the past couple of years, particularly young people. Last year, when the Trump administration pulled back funding for LGBTQ mental health counseling on suicide hotlines, the state stepped in to train all of its suicide hotline counselors to be, specially trained in how to handle LGBTQ clients. So the state is stepping in there to do what it can, yes.
And that's the 988 suicide prevention hotline, correct?
Correct.
Carolyn, what stands out to you about this? I mean, you're going to continue to follow this throughout the year. Of course, that big decision from the Supreme Court is expected this summer, and you've been following this since the beginning.
Well, what stands out to me is that, California is a big state, and there are some places in California where this is kind of, on either side of the issue, it's a no-brainer. But then there's lots of part of the state where, people kind of maybe can see both sides of it, or they're not quite sure how to address this issue. And so that's what I'm going to be paying close attention to this coming year, is how this plays out sort of in the more middle of the road parts of the state.
Carolyn, as always, thanks for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Carolyn Jones is CalMatters K-12 education reporter. We've been talking about how federal policy changes and lawsuits could impact protections for trans youth and students in California. Still ahead, the future of a beloved ice cream parlor in Sacramento was in doubt following the passing of its longtime family owner. But a new family has stepped in to take over Vic's Ice Cream. We'll talk with the general manager about their long-awaited reopening earlier this month. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.